This is Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.
I'm Johnny Hart. This is the Market Insights Market Pulse podcast. Let's join Oanda senior market analyst Kelvin Wong in Singapore. Kelvin, good morning from London and Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you as well, Johnny, and good afternoon over at my end in Asia today.
I hope you had a good break. Plenty to talk about to start this new year. In particular, what we saw over the weekend, extraordinary moments with the invasion, let's call it, of Venezuela and the taking of President Maduro. Many would have thought that this audacious decision from the Americans would cause a roller coaster effect in the markets. But we haven't really seen that, have we? Because actually, markets have been surprisingly stable in spite of the fact that this is a major geopolitical story.
Yes, precisely. So if you look at some of the major geopolitical watchers in social media, they actually reckon what happened over the weekend where we have this surprising raid on Venezuela soil and also that captured of Venezuela leader without any U.S. congressional approval that actually draw in line or in parallel with Iraq 2.0. And what Trump mentioned during the press conference after what has taken shape with the capturing of Venezuela leader is that the intention of U.S. is to come in and take charge of Venezuela for an indefinite period of time and also allowing oil and gas exploration company to manage Venezuela oil fields. And bear in mind that the Venezuela, compared to the OPEC Plus member, potentially has much more oil supply underneath its ground, given the fact that in the last 15 to 20 years, it has been producing unproductivity. So given with this U.S. company coming into play, boosting their oil drilling infrastructure, Venezuela in the next couple of years, in the long-term perspective, could be a major oil-producing country, but under the control of the U.S. So if you look at the first reaction from the markets over here is that, number one, oil prices continues to do a bit of whipsaw, but if you look at the West Texas crude oil right now, it's almost trading at the same level as, say, on last Friday closing price, which is around the $57.60 U.S. dollar per barrel. But interestingly, it's still trading below its 20-day and 50-day moving averages that is acting as an intermediate resistance level at around 57.75/58.95 US dollar per barrel. So what we could see right now over here is that market participants are now disregarding any rise in geopolitical risk premium from the oil price itself, given the fact that they don't view as a white core kind of a negative contingent impact on Latin America that could disrupt oil prices coming from that region. And bear in mind that also, if you look at the stock market perspective, in fact, the stock market rallied positively at the start of today's Asia session, where we see the Nikkei 225, which is the Japan benchmark stock indices, rally close to a 7-week high and now coming very closely to that October fresh autumn high that was made 2 months ago. So eventually, we could view it as a mini bullish breakout for the Japanese 225 stock index. And the rest of the other ASEAN stock market also reacted very positively. So if you look at the Singapore Straits Times index, it's up 0.5%. And the China stock market, the CSI 300, the China A50 is up by between 1.9% to 1.3%. The Hang Seng traded almost unchanged. So overall, there is no kind of a broad-based risk-off sentiment, but instead of a risk-on sentiment as we are seeing right now. And as we are speaking to you, Johnny, in fact, the US E-mini futures is also up right now, where the S&P E-mini futures is trading up by 0.3%. The higher beta NASDAQ 100 E-mini futures is up by 0.65%. So what I could imagine over here is with that potential longer-term impact or medium-term impact where more oil prices could come into the picture, and also with the lifting of sanction on Venezuela oil supply, given that the leader is out of the way right now, that could actually allow oil prices globally to be kept below $65 per barrel. And that could be very positive to the global economy. That means, i.e., whatever elevated sticky inflation, price expectation by several Federal Reserve officials in the past year, that could potentially die off. And that could allow the US Federal Reserve, who has been late in their interest rate cut cycle, to continue their cut cycle that they kickstarted in Q4 of last year, heading into this part of the year, 2026. At least the market is looking at two more interest rate cuts to be coming out from the US. So that actually is a very positive net liquidity impact that's being added to the global stock market. So that actually explained to us the reason why the global stock indices right now is rallying. So on the hand, we talk about gold price, all right? So gold and silver, if you look at it, the situation right now, it's also going up right now as we are speaking. So for silver, being the higher beta one among the precious metal, it's up by 3.4%. And if you look at the gold, spot gold XAU/USD is up by 2.2% as we are speaking right now, trading around at the $4,430 per ounce. So that also could also be borne in line with a potential ongoing dovish Federal Reserve monetary policy that is allowing gold and silver prices to catch a bullish beat, as just speaking. But bear in mind, the thing about gold price right now is that in the last 2 weeks of December, we see a very parabolic speculative rally, especially in silver. So there could be some form of profit taking taking into play. So that means silver and gold could still face a risk about this kind of corrective decline here and there before it come down to a much more cheaper level for the longer term bullish trend to resume from a 6 months perspective.
Going back to what you were saying about the Venezuela situation, Kelvin, of course, the oldest cliche in the book is the markets hate uncertainty. And yes, you said if the situation remains calm, sanctions are lifted, and you can keep oil prices below $65 a barrel. But that is quite a big if, isn't it? Because I would expect over the next few days, weeks, and months, this situation could be very volatile indeed. There is so much of this story to play out. Are there going to be elections? Is there going to be a proper change of administration? Are American oil companies going to be allowed to go to Venezuela? How are the Chinese and the Russians going to react to this? There are so many known unknowns. It's going to be quite a roller coaster, isn't it? I think.
Yes, precisely, because our view is a very fluid situation right now, especially from the transferring of democratic administration leadership, where right now US is being deemed that the current leadership that's being captured due to the reason of necro-terrorism crimes that he kind of being trout in the US court right now, how will the transfer of power will be. And during the press conference over here is that there was some reporters asking Trump, would there be a chance that the current popular Venezuela opposition leader stepping in to run the new administration? But Trump seems to be doesn't, based on the way that he spoke to the reporters, he doesn't seem to be agree on that aspect. And he expect the US administration to come in and manage Venezuela economy, both from a business perspective and both from a political perspective, for a period of time before there could be a so-called a smooth transition of power. So, number one, will the current leadership in Venezuela allows that? Or would there be a domestic riot that could actually take shape in Venezuela? And Trump also mentioned that he do not mind putting boots on the ground again. So would that be lead to a what I call a bloodbath coming into Venezuela and may kickstart into a civil unrest that could spill over to the other LATAM region? And that are interesting, fluid situation that we got to monitor in these coming weeks ahead.
What a way to start the year, Kelvin, with this news. Quite extraordinary, really. Who knows what 2026 holds for the global markets. Let's talk about the week ahead, because there's plenty to look forward to. In particular, I think we've got non-farm payroll, US jobs on Friday, and plenty of other data as well.
Yes, precisely. So let's start with tomorrow. So tomorrow, Tuesday, 6th of January, during the Asia session, we'll have Australia November inflation rate figure coming up. So for the trimming CPI data, they call it, so that is kind of a inflation data stripping out of those volatile items, energy and food. So for the trimming CPI year on year for November, market is looking at around what, 3.2% year on year. So previously it came in at a rather hot rate of 3.3%. So that is above RBA target, upper limit target of 3%. And if it continues to come in above that 3% range for the November trimming CPI data for Australia, that means a very high chance that RBA is almost, they already ended their interest rate cut cycle last year. And in fact, this year, they may start to turn much more hawkish. And if the data came in more than expected, let's say at above 3.3%, like 3.4 or 3.5%, that could increase the odds of at least one RBA interest rate hike, not cut, for this year. And that could continue to see the Aussie dollar strengthening further, where it started to strengthen against the USD in October last year. So that will be on Wednesday, 7th of January. And heading into the later part of the week, where the action comes on Friday. So Friday, starting from the Asia session, even before the non-farm payroll data, we have key China data to take note of, will be inflation rate, as well as the producer price index. So producer price index will be much more of a concern, because there are factory gate prices, where those are actually implied business costs. So we know that there's this ongoing situation where certain narrative of deflationary risk spiral starts to come back into the Chinese economy. So producer prices has been rather weak lately in the last 2 or 3 months or so. So previously there was a slight uptick, but it continues to retreat, continues to hover down below negative 2% year on year in the month of December. So this time around, market participants are expecting a slight improvement to still a negative growth, but the negative growth starts to slow down to negative 1.5% year on year in December from negative 2.2% in November. And what market expecting is the inflation rate, consumer inflation rate, continues to improve further from a positive 0.7% year on year in November to a slight jump up to 0.8% year on year in December. So if these numbers came in within expectation, that deflation risk spiral narrative will be at the back of the front again, and market participants will be forward looking to put any potential up and coming fiscal stimulus measure that could be announced in a couple of months time, in Q1 in the Chinese for the Chinese economy, and that could allow the current bullish momentum to be maintained in the China A shares, and as well as the Hong Kong Hang Seng benchmark stock indices. So that will be on Friday. And also, last but not least, will be the all-important non-farm payroll data and the unemployment rate. So for the non-farm payroll data, market expectation is another low ball number this time round. So previously, for the month of November, 64K jobs added. So market is expecting a low ball number, a lower number of 55K. So market is still viewing the US job market as kind of a lackluster. So if the non-farm payroll data came in within this amount below 64K, that could actually allow the Fed to remain dovish this time around in 2026. And also the unemployment rate, market is still expecting a rather high number of 4.5%. So that is just a slight dip from 4.6% that was being printed in the month of November. So bear in mind that this 4.6% rate is the highest number since September 2021. So what we could see over here is that if these numbers continues to print this kind of lackluster mode, that could keep the hopes of interest rate cut alive for 2026. So right now, based on the CME FedWatch 2, market participants in the Fed Funds futures market are still expecting at least 2 interest rate cut by the Fed before 2026 end. That is about 0.25 basis point each, to bring the Fed Funds rate down to at least that rate of 3%. So if anything that is much more weaker than market expecting, then that will up the Dow of more potential interest rate cut in 2026. And so bear in mind that we also got to keep a look out for consumer sentiment data compiled by University of Michigan. So bear in mind that before we went for our Christmas break, there's another consumer sentiment data that's being compiled by Conference Board. So for that Conference Board, consumer confidence data for the month of December was rather lackluster. So that was, it recorded a fifth consecutive month of decline. So this time around, the consumer sentiment data as compiled by University of Michigan, so that will be in the month of January. So if you look at what market is actually expecting right now. So for the University of Michigan, preliminary data for January market is expecting only a slight uptick to 53.2 for 52.9 that was recorded in December. So that is still considered as a medium-term downtrending phase for this University of Michigan consumer sentiment data. So if it continues to come in rather within market expectation of 53.2 and will still come in below expectation of 53.2 at around 52 level, that could indicate that US consumers are still not willing to spend that much in terms of the consumer sentiment. And that could allow the Fed to potentially maintain its interest rate cut cycle heading into 2026.
Very interesting indeed, Kelvin. Thank you so much for joining us for this first podcast of 2026. Have a great week and we'll speak to you soon.
Likewise, Johnny.
Market Insights, the Market Pulse podcast by Oanda.